Brought to you by IBMPressBooks.com, part of the On Podcast Network at informit.com/podcasts.
Hello, my name is Craig McMurrow. You're very welcome to today's podcast, which is IBM sharing its method for addressing culture challenges, specifically in the book, Can Two Rights Make a Wrong? I'm a strategy and change consultant with IBM Global Business Services based in London, UK. I have a role of culture transformation community of practice lead for the UK, Ireland, South Africa, and EMEA. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to Sarah Moulton-Rager today to talk a little bit more about the title. Sarah, hello.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well. Perhaps we could start, Sarah, picking up really from the last episode. And so over to you.
Well, and Craig, in the last episode, I talked a little bit about my background as a management consultant and a member of research, and what I'd like to do is just expand a little bit on some of the things that we're doing to use this tangible culture experience within IBM. Over the last couple of years, I've worked on a number of IBM enterprise-wide projects where we are using tangible culture. And those include our values transformation and another enterprise-wide transformation effort that is just now beginning to roll out in 2008. And now I'm on to my third major project using it, and I'm a member of our global delivery organization, the people who deliver our technology and process outsourcing to our clients all over the globe. And we're transforming this part of our business, and we're using tangible culture as one of the key parts that is guiding our own culture transformation effort.
So in the last podcast, Sarah, you talked about your inspiration for the book, who the target audience, and a little bit about the contents. I'd like in this podcast to explore further the concepts in a bit more detail. But before we go there, you mentioned the culture toolkit in the last episode. Let's start there, if we could, and find out a bit more about what you meant specifically about the toolkit.
Well, thanks, Craig, because I think this is an important thing that that readers will find valuable. One of the steps in our research in creating tangible culture was to look at the different approaches that companies use when they need to address culture. And what we found were four approaches, and certainly these are approaches that I've used and other have used over a number of years being specialists in the topic of culture transformation. And the four approaches that we found are values-based approaches, principles-based approaches, behavior-based approaches, and then also different approaches that are based on culture models, which we refer to as attribute or characteristic-based models. And value and principle approaches tend to be preferred by business leaders, while behavior and model-based approaches tend to be preferred by culture specialists. And let us just say that it's our very strong opinion that all of these approaches are good. We still use them at IBM for ourselves as well as with our clients. And so we don't want to suggest by any way that these approaches are not important. They're, in fact, very useful. But in our experience, there was something missing, and we needed something more.
Sarah, so let's go into that more. What are the underlying concepts to tangible culture?
There are three underlying concepts, Craig. The first one is business practices. The second is right versus right. And the third is outcome narratives. And together what they're doing is helping us to make culture more workable for business people, more understandable. They're also explaining the source and the cure for culture clash and other business conflicts, helping those to not just be an excuse, giving us ways to work them. And they're also giving us ways to describe new culture expectations so that people will really get what we want for them to do and be able to do it.
So if we can start with the business practices, Sarah, what are they? And more importantly, you know, why should we bother about business practices?
Well, business practices are probably the most widely useful of our three concepts. And business practices simply describe an organization's habits, the unwritten rules for how people are expected to get work done together. Sometimes this is referred to as norms, but that norms really isn't a business term. And certainly we didn't develop business practices, you know, far from it. What we did is we just gave it a business term, ways to understand what these things are that people are doing. So the book includes a rich definition of the concept of business practices and also a set of questions that help people to cover what their business practices are under key topics such as decision making, process execution, what leaders are expected to do, et cetera. And what we found in using business practices as a surrogate for culture is that it really helps to draw business people into the conversation so that they really have a better understanding of what needs to be done. And it's really taking culture from being a soft and squishy feel-good notion into something that business people can truly work on.
Sounds really practical and very useful. The right versus right phrase, it's pretty catchy, Sarah. What does it mean?
Well, we're pretty proud of right versus right, and it's a very simple concept, but it's something that helps people to understand the profound issues that they're facing when they're dealing with culture clash and other types of conflicts. And right versus right just simply means that there are conflicting right answers. So I'm going to describe it using a non-business example. And I know, Craig, that you live outside of London. What side of the road do they drive on in London?
On the left.
Oh, on the left. Well, those of us in the U.S., we drive on the right. And so let's just pretend for a moment that we pick up 100 people in their cars from London, and we pick up a 100 people from New York in their cars as well, and we transport these 200 people magically into a no-name city in a no-name country, and we don't provide them any rules of the road, and we ask them to drive. What's going to happen? Well, I think we pretty quickly see that half are likely to drive on the left, the people from London, half are likely to drive on the right, and we're going to have crashes, we're going to have hurt people, we're going to have lots of frustration. Well, that's right versus right.
A really vivid example, that one, Sarah. Great to consider for a moment. But how does that stuff kind of apply in business?
Well, there's certainly situations where we naturally bring together conflicting approaches. And with mergers and acquisitions and alliances, those are not only very common times for culture clash. Culture clash is very frequently listed as one of the top reasons why mergers, acquisitions, and alliances fail. And even internal efforts such as restructuring and transformation, they can also suffer from right versus right. And if you've got right versus right conflicts, they don't tend to resolve themselves. And the reason is, if I have a right answer and you have a different right answer, I'm very likely to assume that your right answer is wrong. And if you or somebody else tries to get me to change my right answer, I'm likely to resist it. And in the car example, if you ask me to drive on the left, so now all of a sudden we make that the rule, we're going to drive on the left, I not only am going to be hampered by my lack of experience, I'm also going to be hampered by my equipment, because remember, I got transported in my car. My car is set up for right driving. And the book explains the situations that are ripe for right versus right, as well as provide some techniques to help companies to overcome the damage that it can cause. And you have a lot of different options when you're dealing with these right versus right options. You could choose either one of them because they're both right, or you could blend the right answers together and clarify how you're going to determine which is applicable under what circumstances.
So I guess it seems as if right versus right is a way to understand and perhaps respect other people's perspectives. Have you seen this work in execution somewhere?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, what we're seeing is that people seem to be coming into these right versus right situations with a more constructive mindset. In fact, we've experienced a number of situations where right versus right helped people to resolve some fairly entrenched conflicts pretty quickly. And one of the things that we've heard repeatedly is that people say that the approach is causing them to listen to one another more deeply, and what that's done is led to solutions that they hadn't considered before.
Okay, so we've got business practices, we've got right versus right. The third concept is outcome narratives. Talk to us about those.
Outcome narratives are simply structured stories, but the power is in the structuring, and they give us a number of benefits. First of all, they enable us to describe future state expectations in a realistic context, showing people how to take high-level expectations such as we want people to to exercise personal responsibility. We want for people to keep their commitments. How would they apply those words to everyday situations? So they are really great communication and education tool. But I think probably the most important thing that they do is they enable us to see some gaps that we don't really see any other way. Once you've placed the requirements in the realistic context, all of a sudden we start seeing some things that we didn't see before, and that's very helpful for culture transformation work. And another thing that's very helpful for culture change is an objective basis to evaluate progress and help us to pinpoint where some additional actions are needed.
Sarah, thanks for talking to us about those three really important concepts of tangible culture. Anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we sign off?
Well, it's truly our hope that these concepts and the fact that we've chosen to share them broadly will benefit the global business community. Thanks, Craig, for helping us to make people aware of the book and what they can learn from it.
Sarah, you're welcome. The key question, I guess, for folks is where can they get a copy of it or learn more about it?
There's a book website called IBMPressBooks.com, IBMPressBooks.com. And then also if people want to reach either one of us, because I know that you're also one of our global experts in the topic of culture, they can reach either one of us through TangibleCulture.com.
Sarah, thanks for spending the time with me today. And let's look forward to talking a bit more about tangible culture to folks out there.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate your help today.